Great. FY20 budget revision. I move that we approve the FY20 budget revision as presented by Director of Finance, Karen Morrison. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Katie. Take it away, Karen.
Well, we were going to do a PowerPoint presentation, but this budget revision is quite minimal. I do want to talk about a couple of things before I start this. Can I do that? Because we have a motion on the floor, is that okay? It's all budget related. I wanted to address all the professional development that we are sending our teachers to. That's funded through two different grants. One is a Secure Rural Schools grant, and the other we're funding through part of our Migrant Education grant. I just want to make sure that people were aware that we're using grant funds to encourage our staff for professional development. And then, go ahead.
Does that include subs?
Usually, yes.
Yep,
we build the sub costs into that.
And,
In the migrant one, we do build the subs in. In the Secure Rural Schools, which is less money, we don't build the subs into that one. And then I was looking at the liability insurance, and Susan had told me it was going to make a sizable increase, so I built the budget at $35,000 for this year, and it came in at $43,000, just to give you an idea of how much it did increase. And I had built in what I thought was adequate cushion, but obviously not quite enough. Couple things. When we presented our original fiscal 20 budget, operating budget, we always go conservatively on both the revenue side and on the expenditure side. The goal is always to present a balanced budget, or as close to being as balanced as possible. When we ended the school year, so June 30th, 2019, we had a fund balance of $1,058,000, and we used a portion of those funds because we're limited to carrying forward 10% for prepaid expenditures. So what does that mean? We prepaid July's health insurance. We also prepaid the insurance for the district, so the liability, the property, and the workers' comp. So we always have a plan in place to prepay a certain number of our expenditures so that we can get below that 10% fund balance that we're capped at. We carried 9.47% of our fund balance from fiscal 19 to fiscal 20. And I'm very cognizant of the fact that we want to carry as much as we can forward each year, close to that 10%. It's kind of a sticky wicket because it's a little bit of a moving number. It's hard to go, okay, we're going to do 9.99. If I could, I would. But 9.47 is a decent amount of fund balance for us to carry forward. So that was $780,000. Small changes to our winter revision, a total change in our revenue going down by $16,701. That is from a small increase to our local revenue, which is pretty much our student fees. We usually budget pretty low on that because we never want to be caught with less revenue than we're anticipating. And then we had a small reduction of $31,000 in our state sources. That is partially from our foundation funding. We had Hold Harmless clicked on in our formula, which brought a reduction of $25,000. Our numbers did come in higher, but this Hold Harmless provision is built in to help buffer loss of revenue. And and when I checked with the state, that provision should not have been clicked on there. So that's what that reduction is. And as well as truing up the PERS and TERS on behalf amounts. So we receive revenue, reported revenue for PERS and TERS on behalf, and we also report it on our expenditure side. It's a non-cash flow through the district, but it's required for reporting requirements. So an overall decrease in our revenue of $16,701, that's approximately $8.8 million in our total revenue with the revision. Some other changes when we're looking at the expenditure side, I'm proposing we reduce regular instruction by $55,000 to a total of $3.7 million. What the changes are in regular instruction really have to do with staffing changes and moving one paraprofessional that was funded in regular instruction over to SPED because they're really doing SPED responsibilities. And again, the changes are different staffing. We've had some new teachers come in. They came in lower on the salary schedule. And so most of these $55,000 is staffing changes. Special education instruction. The proposed reduction is $36,512, so that our special ed program is $1.2 million. Those changes are a result of, again, staffing. We had a teacher come in that was lower on the salary schedule than somebody who went out. We also moved a half of a paraprofessional time to support services, which is our counseling budget, but this is to support RTI services for our elementary school. And then we also moved a half of a paraprofessional's time to support services instruction, which is actually to support the elementary school library. So it's really just staffing changes, just kind of mixing things around and making it so it's a little bit more clear as to what the district is doing and having our expenditures actually follow what we're actually doing for programming. That increase of $22,000 in support services students is that paraprofessional that we moved into that position for the library. That's for the RTI one. So we moved that into support services students. That's for the RTI support. And we also budgeted for ACT testing because that was missed in the initial budget.
You bring to, what's RTI again?
Response to intervention.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And Erica can talk more about it if you want more detail about what the program is.
Interventions for students who need additional support, but they're not necessarily students who have an IEP for special ed.
The largest increase we're going to see in this proposed budget is $86,801, and that's in support services instruction. This budget is our library budget as well as our technology budget. So the changes, the increases reflect adding that half of a paraprofessional time into the elementary school library. And we also added funds for technology support because when we did our initial budget, the areas that were reduced the most were in technology support as far as purchasing supplies and materials to support the technology programs, as well as maintenance. Those were the two areas where we had to reduce funding to make the budget all work. So we're adding a little bit of funding back into John's budget for technology support, and we're also proposing to do the staff computer refresh rotation. We are on the year of rotation. We've just been trying to figure out how we could budget that in over the last 2 years. Last year we focused on the cameras at the school district. This year we want to focus on the staff refresh. Let's see, school administration support services. This is our secretary's budget, and I had over budgeted for communications initially, so we're just removing the funds for that. And then an increase and district administration support services. This is actually my budget, the finance budget, and this is an increase in the auditing costs as well as the liability insurance. So that's why there's an increase there. So a total proposed increase in expenditures of $21,553. It makes our expenditures $8,737,000. We end with a fund balance of $1,078,000, which we will use again towards prepaid expenses for fiscal year 21. So this is a pretty conservative budget. Actually, again, there were areas where I felt like I could move funds, but I didn't because sometimes I like to nickel and dime the budget. Oh, it's off by $10. I'm going to change it. And then in the spring, I end up moving the money back. So I moved funds where I felt confident that we weren't going to move them back. And I left cushions where I felt like we needed to leave cushions, such as sub costs, electrical use. I kept that full budget in there. Fuel costs, I didn't touch those areas because I don't, it's too early in the year to know exactly what's going to happen, so.
Yeah.
So we'll see this again in the spring to make it all cleaned up?
Yep. We're required to do 2 revisions per year, so I'm hoping for April.
Okay. Get through our cold.
Maybe May at the very latest, yeah. But really we need to actually present our 21 budget in May, even though we won't know anything.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Of course not.
90 days.
So those are the changes that I'm proposing, and I'd be happy to address any questions or concerns.
Do you guys have any questions?
Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward.
Karen.
Okay, thank you, Karen. All right, if there's no questions, then we will have a roll call vote on the motion, which is to approve the FY20 budget revision as presented by our finance director. Irene, call the roll.
Okay. Mara Lajonski.
Yes.
Katie Omlin.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Maria Fund.
Yes.
All right, we'll move right into staff evaluation process review. On our board master calendar. In January, we have a review of the staff evaluation process. It is also a state requirement. And so the superintendent will give us an overview of how they review the staff.
Okay. So we talked about it a little bit earlier today, and it is required each year to just provide some information about the process. There are really no substantial changes from last year. We did a pretty big revamp in 2015, 2016, when they made some changes at the state level about some requirements. And so we adopted the Charlotte Danielson framework, which is a very well-known framework that there's a couple of them, and that was the one that we chose, and most of the districts in Alaska, many of them use that. It's based on 24 domains that have to do with instruction and professional strategy. So we utilize the system in Frontline, which is the same computer program, the same process that we use for our absence management and our time card module. So it houses it, and it all talks to each other, which is also nice. It's a pretty streamlined system. It does still require quite a bit of time of our administrators, as they're sitting over there looking at that. It is it does take more time, but we do feel that it does offer really rich conversations with our teachers, and there's a self-reflection component of it, which I think is really important for teachers. And I think there are really good questions for pre- and post-conferences that are also do draw out, just really good professional conversations for our staff. So the goal is not a gotcha. The goal is professional growth. And if there are specific, instructional issues or any other problems, that way, they come out either during that process or throughout the year with walkthroughs and that sort of thing, too. So everything is housed in the system, which is also nice. You can go back and look. Teachers can go back and look at their own over the years. They can see where they've grown. They can look at the beginning of the year when they're setting their goals and doing their self-reflection. So. I don't know if there's anything else that Ms. Kahn or Mr. Dormer would like to add, or if you guys have any other questions.
What do you do for classified staff, then?
We have a system within the district. It's not through an online system, but there are requirements within the negotiated agreement to do a classified evaluation based on the job description, and those are supposed to be done by May 1st of each year. And then we could actually comment on that. We have added some things to that process, I would say, the last couple of years, where we're asking our classified staff to also do some goal setting, and then we're doing a kind of mid-year checks, which we did this year. Like, again, not a gotcha, but how's it going? How do you feel you're making progress toward the goals, towards the job description and towards the things that are required there? And I think those conversations were helpful, too. Like, what do people need? Mid-year, we're halfway through, how are things really going? And if we have some feedback as administrators, we're able to give that as well. So I think it's been pretty.
We updated that last year as well.
Yeah.
It's the language aligned a little closer.
To yeah. And to the job description. So I think it's, yeah. I think those conversations were pretty helpful.
We just talked about like what's working, what's not working, looked at their goals, and when we look at the in-service overall, we've been really trying to help everyone meet those goals. So just planning our in-services and our, Fridays from 1:45 to, mm-hmm. to 3:45 to try to plan those to meet the needs of everybody and what they need from us.
Yeah. And that's been driving a lot of our professional development for our certified staff as well. So, you know, rather than having it being something that's done to you, you know, having it be something that's really driven by what the teachers really want and need, and what we're seeing, you know, is needed by the kids as well. So, I think that's it.
All right. Moving into 2020-2021 school calendar, this is an opportunity for the board to give feedback regarding the development of the 2021 school calendar. So if you have any feedback that you'd like to give, or Maria, if you'd have any feedback that you'd like to give in shaping next year's school calendar, this is the time to share that information. I personally, sorry, Maria.
Okay.
I personally liked the extra day on the end of winter break. I anticipate that I will also like the extra day on the end of spring break.
Yep.
I anticipate I like any extra days. So.
Extra day, what do you mean by extra day? Like the day of giving or?
No, how you had Monday off.
Oh, okay.
The January 6th.
After the winter break.
Is this also talking about when we're having finals, or is that a different
thing? Yeah, that can be feedback, too.
I think that I also noticed that the first day back, there was a lot of energy, and I think it was because I personally didn't feel stressed about taking finals in 2 weeks, or how much I probably should have studied instead of going to a family event. Like, I think that was super helpful for me, and I know it's harder for some teachers to have it before break, which I totally understand because it does put a lot more on their plate, but I know from like the student's side that it's a lot nicer to have it before winter break. Yeah.
Is that because of our later start time in the beginning of the year?
It's quite a bit
that it like has to
shorter first semester than
shove
semester
everything in.
Thank you. I appreciate that feedback.
Yeah, is it the good second year you've done that? Because I want to think that it was before that we've had that conversation before where
it's gone back and forth a couple times.
Okay, before break versus after break.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's always pros and cons to both from kids and adults. So
I did like the day a four day week that going back, especially on the for my younger child, she was exhausted by Friday.
Yeah. Good transition.
So like, it's nice to just slower, kind of like, yeah, the beginning of the school year where it starts out a little just that.
So we have to make up those days that we're missing somehow or somewhere in the calendar?
Mm-hmm. No, we went through and we've counted all the minutes and all the days. There. We can have up to 10 in-service days, and sometimes we work those around with our parent-teacher conferences. We tried a couple different things with that this year as well. So it kind of comes down to configuring the amount of minutes that you can have or the amount of total in-service days. So no, it's not and we haven't. We're good. We can't get it approved if at the state they have to approve it.
Steve, were you asking just because first semester was shorter? Is that what you asked about those days when I said first semester was shorter? Is that
no, I just wondered if like, we had 2 extra days that the kids aren't in class. Do we need to make those up?
And we've moved some of those around too. Like some of them, we've either split up the in-service days, like maybe we had 2 at one point together. Maybe we moved one and one, spread them out.
Sure.
Or we did some different things, like we said, with the parent-teacher conferences. Sometimes we used to do, sometimes we've had late, and then no day, no school on one of the days to kind of account for those late nights. And this year, and that was hard, we went like late for conferences, and then still had school. So those are long weeks for teachers in particular, because those are 18-hour days, and then go back. So anyway, different, trying to work with the minutes and trying to make it work best, for whether it's schedules for kids or instruction that way too. So, and I think there's a lot of conversation about conferences as well, and things to try, maybe especially at the secondary level. It's difficult to try to get to all the teachers, and there's lots of conversations about ways to make it more beneficial maybe for everybody, for students and parents. And
separately, I thought that the middle school conferences, where they kind of did team conferences, I thought that was good.
Oh, good.
It was nice meeting with two different teachers at the same time, because then if you heard a concern by one teacher, you could kind of like look to the other teacher and be like, same or yeah. No?
Yeah, I thought that was helpful too. Okay. Specific so times good with all three. No, it's not really a calendar thing, but I guess it kind of
it can be.
Okay. You didn't like it?
You didn't like the calendar in general?
Oh, I didn't like the... For me personally, well, for my family, it totally messed us all up.
What's that?
Of course, Christmas break. We couldn't.
Oh, having the finals
because
prior
leave.
To?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That week it was...
Oh.
It, yeah. So...
Yeah.
Only two of us got to go. The rest of us got to stay.
That's right. December 5th.
And I did hear feedback about conferences on Thanksgiving, and maybe we shouldn't do that, like, the Thanksgiving week.
Oh, we've always done them.
I know, but I can't remember what it was, but I heard a couple of people didn't care. I mean...
Because they
I will admit
down.
We were gone,
because
so we did them before the week before.
Mm-hmm. Some people do that.
Yeah, I can't remember why, but there was something. Mm-hmm. A couple of people said something, but I can't remember. I'm sorry.
No, it's anyway, good to know. Yeah. Oh, calendars. Everybody knows how I love to talk calendars.
It used to be worse.
My favorite topic.
I don't have... Not a strong opinion about it.
It's fine. I mean,
interrupt.
No, I know.
It's what it is. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's always the thing that's tough. We laugh about it because, you know, there's the pros to, there are people who love it before and people mm-hmm. who don't, and there's people who love it after and then don't, and people who want to drop, you know. Anyway.
Well, I totally understand about getting it, all the finals done before you go, but it's like, can we do it a little earlier? Like
finals even
days.
Earlier,
just a little couple of days.
We really
still
have
get
a short semester.
We could. You want to start school in
August
10th?
Oh no!
I think it's early August.
No,
that's what a lot of districts do.
We could just go year round.
Oh, ooh, there's the.
Oh, I don't think so.
You're almost
I'm
done.
I'm almost done, so I don't care.
I would love.
I'm gonna say, sure, I'll talk.
Yeah.
You can travel right. For 6 weeks in the middle of February.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. Move into math curriculum adoption and approval of materials. I move that we approve the recommended math curriculum and purchase the materials in the estimated amount of $42,000.
One second.
Seconded by Sarah. Do we have any sort of presentation, or do you want us to just talk the school board members that were there?
I think if you guys want to, I was also thinking, I don't know if maybe if, I mean, we did go through each of the documents. We have all each of the documents. We shared them with everybody. If there were any specific, you know, sort of specific questions, I appreciated Katie's comments there. It might be nice. I don't know. We did a little kind of synopsis today on the radio. Mara and I did just talking a little bit about bridges and kind of making the shift. There's a bit of a shift in the elementary school. And then maybe Rick would maybe want to address a little bit of the big ideas and that choice. Do you want to come up here? And
very brief for the listening public, because we did have an open meeting where we talked for 2.5 hours.
Yes.
We went thoroughly over it. I guess for the listening
public,
we went...
No, I just meant brief for our board.
For the rest of the board.
Yes.
And that
high overview.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Three bullet points.
Got this.
Yeah.
All right.
1 minute.
The elementary school has decided Becky Martin and Mary Mitkiff worked all year last year on this, side by side, took a lot of effort, a lot of time, and they really did their research, coming out with a Bridges math curriculum. The curriculum is meets the Common Core standards, and it is a spiraling curriculum, which means we will see the same information again in a different way throughout the year instead of mastering one piece at a time and then never seeing it again that year. So we are really excited about this. We are really excited that it is being adopted tonight because we can order it, we can get it in, and we can go through the kits and tinker with it, get them here, and then we have a training in April for Rachel Harrington to come, and she is going to provide this training to us. I almost thought I said Sarah Harrington.
Oh, I was congratulated my PhD a few years ago.
Oh, congratulations. Nice.
Because it's Rachel's.
Mm-hmm. Becky, do you have anything to add?
About it. Everything I'm learning about my classes right now that I'm taking outside of school, I keep finding in this curriculum. So, and Mary and I piloted it this year, and we've been pretty excited about what we see. And
yeah, I can do that. Cool.
I'm looking forward to sharing that with staff and helping them as they step into it. Should be great.
I think it's important for parents to know too that a lot of it is game based. It's a fun way for it to be presented. And speaking personally, I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time subbing in Becky's room and other classrooms before I was on the school board. And just as a sub, walking in and knowing, opening the math book and being like, why are we teaching kids this way? And knowing that as a sub, I'm excited about this new curriculum. So I'm really happy with the switch. I think it's going to be a really good thing for our students.
Great.
And I will note, Heather did say that it meets Common Core standards, which it may, but we based it off of Alaska state math standards, and we found the curriculum, or the curriculum committee found the curriculum that would fit Alaska state math standards. Mm-hmm. So, just for everyone out there, don't get scared at the word Common Core. But
yeah, sorry.
It fit Alaska state math.
It's a trigger word for some people. Bad.
I'm good. Alaska state math standards. So it fits those. And yeah, so that was elementary school, middle school.
Large overview, middle school. It will be continued to use the Big Ideas curriculum as the textbook. And we have, with Mrs. Dahlberg and Mr. Brock, we have veteran teachers that I've been doing this a long time, and I'm really happy with that curriculum. They've been very happy with the online resources. Maybe some parents are seeing their kids use at home. So there are very few changes to that, more just kind of activities, assessments, those type of things. This is also Alaska state aligned, so state standard aligned. So those are great. So not a lot of changes there. They're actually, we look at the purchases, they're only purchasing a few textbooks. They found that we don't really check so many textbooks out to kids. A lot of kids tend to leave just in the classroom and use those online resource, and some do like it textbooks, so we like to keep a bunch on hand, but not as many as the old days when every kid had their own textbook all the time, you know. The high school had transitioned a few years ago into Big Ideas as well, so that's a nice alignment, and they also been really happy with it. When you look at the state standards, covered the kind of the lower end of the spectrum, meaning the younger end, when you talk about the algebra, the geometry, and the algebra 2, and so those are going to be completely aligned with the Big Ideas curriculum as well, and have been happy with that. So a little bit of purchasing there to get those textbooks there. They also, our high school kids tend to use more online resources for obvious reasons with the laptop and their mobility and their traveling and that type of thing. So that's also a good resource. I've been very happy with those resources, the test banks that come with it. So that's nice. Probably looking at some new textbooks for pre-calc and calc. Their state standards don't cover those upper-level math classes. But the great Tom Thompson, who I see snuck out, he was here earlier, but has been working with those and refining. So again, in a nutshell, not any really large major changes. There's large purchases. You'll see a large number of graphing calculators, and just as technology increases, having a nicer calculator helps our students on state tests, because the pixelation, you can get more accurate data points when you're graphing some of these functions for the state tests. And so we're spending a bunch of money to try to get these, because they help our kids get better answers on their math tests, which is important for everybody.
Yes, and during that meeting we heard that there are possibly some students who might be using graphing calculators from the 1990s.
Oh.
So
they're very glad to. There's the pixelated word again.
They are pixel
a lot.
In a bad way.
They have a lot of pixel.
Yeah, so 1999.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to replace those, and
time.
Yeah. Mr. Hayes. Mr. Hayes indicated that those could still be available in, you know, perhaps library checkout or something if students do need one outside of school times.
Yep.
So, okay. Any other questions regarding the curriculum? I felt that we asked pretty good questions of the committee there regarding staff feedback about the the materials and, yeah,
I felt comfortable
with moving forward with what they're doing. All right, go ahead, Irene, please call the roll.
Okay, Sarah Holmgrain.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky.
Yes.
Maria Flynn.
Yes.
Yay! That's so exciting. It is.
You can say no, Diary. All right. <Yes. laughs> Association of Alaska School Boards February 2020 fly in. So, AASB is the school board association that we belong to. It is a school board association for the state of Alaska. They provide great training that we oftentimes go and attend. They also have student and youth leadership training at some of these events. They will be doing their legislative lobbying, going to the Hill / training of school boards on February 8th to the 11th. And as I said earlier, the superintendent, myself, and Sarah Holmgrain will be attending. We were also asked to give a presentation to the group, the other school boards and superintendents that are there, regarding our superintendent board team. So we are giving a presentation about how fun it is to be on our Petersburg school board.
We're the team.
We are an excellent team to the outside world.
People notice?
We get a lot of compliments from AASB and other superintendents that notice that we are functional.
Yeah, it's true.
I think they see everything.
They make everyone around here, all of the staff makes us functional.
No doubt.
That's true.
It's not a
Irene makes us functional.
She's just leading up to number 8. On the thing. So we will be going up. We are setting up meetings with.
We have them.
Our rep. Oh, great.
We
have
did it.
Meetings with the representative. Did we get. Are we going to shove our way into the Department of Education?
I'm going to find that out tomorrow.
So we are going to go and talk to, my personal opinion, the more important people to talk to this year will be the Department of Education, because I think they will be crafting perhaps a new formula, perhaps a funding tied to reading, perhaps funding tied to algebra, XYZ. So I think that it would be good for us to stick our heads in and say, hey, you want committees? We'll serve on focus groups. We'll serve on surveys. We'll serve on at least to get our voice across. So we might go and spend some time at the Department of Education as well while we're up there. Okay. Certified staff resignation acceptance. The board recognizes the resignation of Dan Van Swearingen, certified teacher, effective the end of the 2019 and 20 school year, as accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board per board policy 4117.2. So while we're sad to see Mr. Van Swearingen go, and we know that that leaves a hole in our swimming curriculum, our swimming department.
Health department.
As with
that's right,
all,
he teaches health
he does
too.
Teach well, one level
and
of
some PE.
Yeah.
We look at all. Lately, we have been looking at all positions as to whether they will be filled in the same way, if they will be filled in a different way or change. So, we are sad to see Mr. Van Swearingen go, but I'll be excited to see what it gets replaced with. We'll see. And sad retirement acceptance of Irene Littleton as submitted. She has submitted a letter of intent to retire. And the board recognizes the resignation of Irene Littleton, the superintendent, board administrative assistant, and she will be retiring June 30th of 2020. And that was accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board per board policy 4117.2. We're just notifying at this point. Of course, we will have a celebration.
Oh.
As it gets closer to you abandoning us.
I do not accept your
resignation. Cheryl votes
She's been
no.
waiting to say no.
She's like, don't I get to vote?
No. I appreciate that.
Any additional comments? Oh.
Can I just say this feels like the best time to say it? I couldn't even start speaking about Irene and what she's done for the district, so I'm not even going to touch that. But I do want to say about Mr. V, thank you, Irene. We'll talk more later about your amazingness.
About what?
About you leaving. That's really sad.
Aww, thank you.
But Mr. V, if anyone has a chance, you know, I think a lot of people see him as a swim teacher. He is an outstanding PE teacher. He is probably one of the top I've ever seen in Mr. Cabral. Probably the same thing. He is amazing, and thinking of large spaces and high energy and all things he can do, he's just absolutely outstanding. And, you know, does a great job in the classroom with health and PE. And swim and stuff, but I just want to say it out there. And if people are around and you don't want to pop in, or another teacher wants to stop and see him, he is an outstanding PE teacher. So yes. Sorry to see him go.
He's also done quite a bit of work with over the last few years. We've kind of worked within with occupational therapy and physical therapy with mm-hmm. some of our higher needs, special needs students. And he's maybe it's married to Ellie. I don't know, but he's been exceptional. I would say in that area as well. I mean, just very. As far as implementing goals and doing the work within the pool and out of the pool.
Was he the one that came up with the bring your parents
to gym?
Well, that's actually
It's a national.
Okay. But, I mean, when you see the parents doing 5 push-ups for every time that they're, like, you know, not able to multiply properly, you would see all those parents. I think, actually, Katie and I, we multiplied properly. We just got outed at some points. A lot of push-ups that day. And then I would like to just say, you know, over the last couple of years, he has allowed me to just come bombard myself and put myself in that pool at any point in time and jump off the blocks and splash the kids and just annoy people in the pool all the time, even this year. So I really enjoyed having that opportunity with him, as well as the adaptive program that we have going on.
Thank you for that. And we are not going to talk about it. I won't talk
No,
about it.
We can't.
Not yet.
What's going to happen? 19 years together. Oh.
Any additional comments from board members?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Me?
No dramatic statement.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a dramatic statement.
Any upcoming dates and meeting announcements? The activities calendar, of course, can be viewed on our website, www.pcsd.us. And a reminder that there's a crisis response emergency preparedness annual meeting on the 22nd in the high school library at 3:15. And then a reminder to us here sitting at this table, at Maria, she would like to attend. There, we will be meeting in executive session. Well, maybe not. Sorry, Maria, you might not be. Superintendent evaluation and goals, 5:30 p.m. Is that date still working for everyone? 28th.
Yes.
Okay, I will be sending out, check your emails, please, for our portion of the evaluation. Policy committee meeting is on the 30th at 3:15. Any future agenda items? Any other new business? I move that we adjourn at 7:41 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.